The reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 through 58. The song, Morning Cry, is a song of faith for today. The message is centered around our crisis victory over sin and death. This can be found in the New Testament on page 177 in the Red Pew Bible. Or you can follow. I'm not sure in the bulletin, it's different than what my reading is, so I'm not sure what's going to be up on the screen. Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you know that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. The composer of Morning Cry is a man named John Ilvesacker. And John was described as a prolific songwriter. He wrote over 2,000 hymns. His creativity never waned, even as his voice and body did late in later years. His hymn, I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry, has been used all around the world. It's been used in worship services and in baptisms. Ilvesacker died last March. He was originally born in Fargo, North Dakota, in 1959, and was the son of the department. Carl Ilvesacker was the director of the Department of Religion at Concordia College, and his mom was a librarian at the same university. John worked out of the American Lutheran Church headquartered in Minneapolis, and later he traveled around the world collecting music that he took and made into wonderful hymns. Those influences, along with American folk music, really are reflected in his Christian music. I met him in 1964 at a Luther League convention in Columbus, Ohio. I'll never forget how beautiful Psalm 96 could be. Straight out of the RSV, they sang that song to twist and shout. Sing to the Lord, a brand new song, a brand new song. Sing to the Lord, sing all day long. And all the guitars and the drums and all those wonderful things that are going on to back up that song was just a wonderful way to sing a hymn of praise from the Psalms. Later, I met him several years later, and he introduced me to a table grace that we use to this day. In fact, we used it last night at supper. It was a song that he wrote on a napkin when he was on an airplane, and went to the tune of Windy. And the chorus and the part of it we use for our table grace is, thanks be to God, the Father Almighty. Thanks be to God who came to this earth. Thanks be to God, the Spirit eternal. Thanks be to God forever. And that's where we end our table grace. But there are verses that go along with that as well. Unfortunately, the group that wrote the original Windy would not allow him to use their music to back up his song, so it never really became published as such. The last time I remember him was at a global mission event in Colorado. My wife and I had attended that event was in the old ELCA. They had missionaries come home from many, many different nations, and friends of those missionaries and just people that were interested in what was happening in our outreach in the world would gather together for these global mission events. And he was our song leader for that particular conference. And one night, to a room of about 1,000 people, he sang Born in Cry. And when that song finished, it was so quiet, you could hear a pin drop. As I thought about each of the verses, I thought about this is a story of God being with us through our lives, just as Daniel spoke about in the children's message. And as I thought about each of the verses, scriptures came to my mind, and these I would share with you today. The first verse, by the way, if you want to follow it, is on 770 in your blue With One Voice hymnal. We'll be singing it following the service, so if you have it open to that, you'll be all ready to go. Of course, it'll be on the screen as well. I was there to hear your morning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. The words that jumped out at me were, I rejoice the day you were baptized. This is the Lord singing a song to us. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. And it brought to mind Jesus' words at the end of Mark's gospel where he says, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. That is why God rejoiced not only that you were born a human being, but you were born as a new child of his through holy baptism. You were saved. But though we are saved, it happens that we walk away due to outside and internal influences. And so the next verse continues, reminding us of Paul in his third chapter of Romans, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I was there when you were but a child, the verse goes, with a faith to suit you well. In a blaze of light, you wandered off to find where demons dwell. Not everyone rebels, but for those prodigals who do, we are reminded of the grace that meets us when we come home repentant, as we see in the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Let me share just the last portion of that parable. He returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. And so the party began. The next verse points us to God cheering us on as we respond to his holy word. When you heard the wonder of the word, I was there to cheer you on. You were raised to praise the living Lord to whom you now belong. As I think of that verse, I think of the words from the book of Proverbs that say, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And then the joy of marriage and the fact that God will support that relationship if we allow him to, and teach us in marriage how to forgive one another just as he has forgiven you and me. As we see in John 3:16, the God so loved the world verse, or simply in the wonder of the cross. If you find someone to share your time, the verse goes, and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme from dusk till rising sun. In the next verse, we move into the middle years. There are no years without difficulties, challenges, and yes, joy. Remember Psalm 119, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The verse goes, in the middle ages of your life, not too old, no longer young, I'll be there to guide you through the night, complete what I have begun. The Lord, through His Holy Spirit, sanctifies us, helps us to grow, to become more effective disciples. Then we come to that final verse. And that calls several scripture passages to my mind. The first is in John 14, and it's probably very familiar to you all, where Jesus is comforting His disciples and encouraging them and us as well when He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I tell you that I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." And then Paul's words from the scripture you heard read earlier, 1 Corinthians 15. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. When the evening gently closes in, the verse goes, and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there as I have always been, with just one more surprise. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. And Jesus goes on to say, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Jesus goes on, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. That one surprise of eternal life with the Lord. The other day, my wife really moved me by something she said. She said, whenever I hear your voice, I am reminded of home. I thought, wow. And then I thought a little broader, whenever we hear God's voice, we are reminded of home. Revelation 7. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. 2 days of the week I work as a visitation pastor for Holy Ghost, and 2 days of the week I work at Peterson Hospice as a chaplain in Kerrville, visiting people who are terminally ill. And standing with people who are getting ready to face the Lord, these verses have special meaning to me, especially that great surprise. The final chorus that is the reflection of the first goes, I was there to hear your mourning cry. I'll be there when you are old. I rejoice the day you were baptized to see your life unfold. God is with us throughout our lives. As Jesus says in Matthew 28, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.